Great event coming to town. It's on September 27th. Money and Marriage is going to be in the Woodlands, and Rachel Cruz is joining us on the Morning Mix. How you doing, Rachel?
Hey, guys. Doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So before I got married, I was told that most fights in marriage are about money. I've now been married 6 years. I have found that is 99% true. Out of all the couples that you talk to, how much would you say their fights have something to do with money, whether it's the budget, what they're spending it on, like stuff like that?
I would say definitely most people. The number one cause of divorce besides infidelity is money fights and money problems. So it is this huge stress point for so many people because they just don't know how to navigate it within a marriage, from the tactical side to the budget, but also how do you handle if one person's a spender and they enjoy that versus one person's a saver? And so really, you know, kind of debunking some myths and giving people tactical information is what we hope this event does, because marriage can be stressful and money can be stressful. So altogether, a lot of people feel the stress and the weight of these two subjects.
Rachel, I have a theory.
Yes.
Being not married and never engaged and not in any form of long-term relationship, I feel like I'm an expert on this. I have a thought that if money is such a problem in a marriage, why not remove that problem from the marriage and just have separate bank accounts? Wouldn't that solve the problem?
Oh, no. And a lot of people think that, okay, they go into it thinking, okay, if we can just be separate, it'll be fine. You pay these bills, I'll pay those, we'll have separate accounts, and we'll just separate it out. But what ends up happening is your unity starts to divide because you're basically living like roommates versus being married. And so what you have to do is push into the problem versus avoiding it. And so to push in, and what happens when you have the same account, checking account, we'll just take that as an example, that forces communication. I mean, that forces the idea of, okay, you went to Target and spent this. Can we talk about it? Like, what happened here? Because you are one. When you get married and the preacher says, now you are one in every aspect of your marriage, including your money. And so what ends up happening is couples that end up working together with their money, and they make goals, like to get out of debt, and they do these things together as a couple, they end up becoming so much closer in their marriage. You know, the intimacy, the unity, all of that is so combined, so much deeper versus splitting it apart and just avoiding the subject altogether.
Maybe one person who used to be the saver will eventually turn into the spender.
You just spent all my money.
It could happen. Hey, but everyone needs both. So if you're a saver out there, you need a spender in your life to enjoy life.
Not.
And if you're a spender, you need a saver.
I'm just thinking about someone spending the money I worked so hard for. Oh, my God, Rachel.
Rachel, do couples ever start off thinking they want to be together and then they'll come to you and be like, well, we did that for a couple of years, but then we actually started doing things separately and then that's things worse? Or do people kind of start one way and then they kind of continue doing it whether they think it's working or not?
You know, it's kind of 50-50, honestly. And what I find is actually it's harder to work together, but the outcome is so much greater. They end up accomplishing so much more. It's very, very difficult to win with money if you and your spouse are not on the same page. You're not going to meet your financial goals. You're not going to be able to dream together. Because if you dream together and you're like, okay, maybe we want to build a house in 6 years. Maybe that's a goal we have together. Well, if your money's all separate, how are you working towards that goal together?
Because we're putting a percentage of it together.
Okay, let me tell you this. Most couples fight about money.
Rachel, I have to think about it for a second. How am I going to turn Sarah?
I know. I've got to convince you. Let me just tell you this. Couples that work together have such of a higher quality of marriage once they work through the funk, because there may be some funk there, but you are one. And that's my belief. That's where I stick to my guns, that you are one, and that includes your money. But hey, in your budget, though, this will give you some relief. When you do a budget together, you're agreeing on where your money's going. And in everyone's budget, you need your own line item. So like, there's a Rachel line item in the budget. So I have a certain amount of money, just like my husband does, discretionary spending. So when I'm at Target, I can go buy mascara. I can go do what I want, and
in
I'm not
cash.
Testing.
So he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Yes,
man.
So you do have some independence in this, right? You still are you. My husband loves hunting, and he has hobbies like that. He's going to go and spend money on that, and that's great, but we agree on the amount together, and so that's the important thing. The communication, you end up talking about more than just money, and that's the secret of it all.
Well, Rachel, how many people that you've spoken to don't want to even admit their problems? You know, we live in a world where people get on Instagram, they get on Facebook, all the pictures look like everybody's happy and nothing's wrong. And meanwhile, they're drowning in debt. They're yelling at each other every night. How many people, when they publicly see you, will actually say, you know what, we think we got a problem?
I think people have to get to a place in their life where they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's with their own money, right? Dealing with money. That's within their own marriage. Whatever it is, they get to a place like, I'm done of feeling this way. Like, something has to change. And that's the point. I like to say people get mad at their situation. So whether they're, you know, I find a lot of people with this with their money. They're kind of like, eh, I'm fine. And they keep with these bad habits for years and years. And then they wake up one day and they're like, this sucks. Like, all of my income is going to paying off my credit cards and my car loan. I work for a jerky boss. I don't want to do this job, but I have to be in this job to pay my bills. And they start this cycle and they start to get mad. And that's the key. When you get mad at your situation, that's when you're going to change. And so that's when I talk to a lot of people. They're like, we're tired of living like this. What can we do differently? Because we want to win. Because it's like people are a rat in a wheel their whole life, running, 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 and they have no progress. They're not getting anywhere. And so that's it. Because when I talk to people and they're like, yeah, I sort of kind of think I might want to get out of debt. I'm like, yeah, you're never going to get out of debt. That's not going to happen. You have to get mad at it. Yeah, you can wander your way into these situations. You cannot wander your way out. You have to have a visceral change. And so that's what I love, because we ignite that in people, that emotion, through our message, which I love. It shows people that there is hope in this. You can really gain control of your money and have a great marriage while doing it.
What happens, though, Rachel, when you're in a marriage and you get into this marriage and you realize that one of the members of this marriage is very, very far in debt, and one of you is not very far in debt. One of you was fiscally responsible and the other was not. I don't feel like it's my responsibility to dig you out of your bad mistakes, but now I'm married to you, so you're my problem.
Okay. You're not going to like my advice. I can already tell.
No, listen, Rachel, I'm really enjoying it. I feel like I met my best friend.
Good. I'm so glad. Yes. Okay. Again, the way you're phrasing that question is that you are on two different mindsets, two different paths. We are separate. This is your problem. This is my problem. No. When you get into a marriage, it's our problem together. And hopefully you don't find out that after you're married, right? That this is a discussion that you're having even when the relationship is getting serious and you guys are dating. And I tell people, when you're dating and it's becoming the marriage conversation is entering the picture, even before you're engaged, talk about it. Because here's the danger point. If you have someone that's like, oh yeah, I'm $80,000 in debt and I don't really care and I'm going to continue to spend on credit cards, I'm going to spend more than I make, I don't really care about retirement, this is just how I am. And if you start digging in and that's the person, slowly but surely, you may see that, okay, our value system, not even with money, our value system is not aligning, but it could be revealed through the numbers versus someone that's like, yeah, I'm 80 grand in debt and it's student loans because I was stupid and took it out and I'm going to work tirelessly to pay these off as fast as possible so that we can do things we want to do with our money. Those are two different people, right? But with the same problem, the same numbers, two different mindsets. So that's the key. That's what's revealed when you talk about this. But that 80 grand, once you get married, it is our debt together.
Okay, reminding 100%. Myself to ask my boyfriend about his. just kidding, he's fine.
Rachel, don't do it on the first date. Don't do it on the first date. Don't be weird.
When my wife and I were married for a couple of years, Rachel, and then she expressed to me that because I still had my checking account in just my name, she kind of felt like because her name wasn't on it and she wasn't also seeing those statements, that I was kind of like, she didn't say I was hiding the money on her, but she felt like, you know, she wasn't fully aware of everything that we had. Couples that hide money, I mean, obviously it's bad, but how often do you see that? And in the ways that they see it, was I hiding money from my wife by not immediately putting her name on our checking account as soon as we got married?
Yeah, I would say no, because here's the difference. There is true financial infidelity, and these are, you are purposefully hiding something. And I'm as strict to say, even if it's a Target shopping bag and you're like, yeah, I'm going to just hide this under the bed, there's a point that when that becomes a habit, you have more of a problem than just the Target shopping bag. The fact that you can't communicate with your spouse and tell your spouse that is a little bit of a red flag. And whether or it's a gambling addiction and you're $100,000 in debt and you're hiding that from your spouse. You know, whatever it is, the purposeful hiding is a red flag for sure. And a lot of people call that financial infidelity. And it's very destructive. And some people say that on an extreme case, that it feels like an affair because there was this whole secret life that they knew nothing about. And it just, it really breaks down trust in the relationship. But in your case, no, I would say, yeah, you're not purposely hiding things from your wife. I could see how she kind of feels that way, where it's things are, in a sense, quote unquote, kind of in the dark. She doesn't see it. It's not visible. Then it can kind of is like, okay, what's going on? But that's more of a logistical reason why, you know, it was quote unquote in the dark because her name wasn't on it. So you could easily go down the bank, put her name on it and keep on going with life. That's fine. So, and then I talked to some people, and they're like, oh, yeah, I saw in our statement that my husband went to Chick-fil-A, and he didn't tell me, and he committed financial infidelity. And I'm like, okay, you need to freaking chill. Like, you're okay. So, yeah, there's, like, miscommunication. You know, there's those kind of things. That is not financial infidelity. When it is a purposeful hiding something, that is more the financial infidelity spectrum.
Let's say.
Oh, here we go. All these people better be going to Marriage and Money with Rachel Cruz on September 27th.
I feel like Jeff has a very good grasp on financial planning and saving and all the things. They don't teach you this stuff in school, Rachel. Like, they teach you stuff in school that you're just going to forget later. This is something that they should really honestly teach in school. Let's say, hypothetically, you're a 35 and 38-year-old non-married females. How much should you technically have saved, and how much should you have in your 401k, and what should your retirement look like now? Because we kind of got to be those ages and didn't realize it until we got there. What should we honestly be looking at?
Yeah, for sure. So retirement planning, all of that is extremely important, but I want some other things done before that. So I tell people, number one, to get a baby emergency fund. Don't get a baby. Get a baby emergency fund of $1,000, And then I want you to pay off all of your debt at your house. And so you're paying off all of your debt. And then save up 3 to 6 months of expenses in the bank for a fully funded emergency fund. And so I find that people do all of these things on average within 2 years. And I stop retirement planning, stop everything, and focus all of your efforts on step one, $1,000. Step two, get out of debt. Step three, fully funded emergency fund. And then beyond that, fund 15% of your income into retirement. And so if your company matches, like a 401k plan or a 403b, that's great. Take the match and then open up a Roth IRA is another great investment. And so looking at that retirement, and then any other money you have, if you have children, look at college savings after that.
Rachel, so you have no money for Target.
What did you say?
I have no money left for Target.
I have no money left for Target. No, there will be. When you have no debt, there's a lot of money left for Target. Trust me. Trust me.
All right, Lauren, that was a question hypothetically for you and I.
For
I
both
forgot.
Of you.
I was listening.
I took notes. We need a 401. We need a Roth. We need to pay off all of our debt but houses. And we need to have $1,000 and 3 to 6 months of living expenses.
Okay.
Are we talking like living large expenses, Rachel? Or are we talking like bare necessities?
I would say the emergency fund's there. So like if you lose your job or something like that happens, that you can still survive, you know, for 3 to 6 months on your current lifestyle. So that's what I always say. So whatever your budget is, then just times that by 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever it is. And so for a lot of women, talking to women, their financial fear is the lack of security. And so for a lot of women, they just want to know that if something were to happen, that there's money in the bank and everything's going to be okay. And so that fund, honestly, is usually the woman driving it because of that lack of security fear that she has. And so that's just there, again, because emergencies are going to happen. Medical things are going to come up. Someone's going to lose a job. A car's going to break down. Things are going to happen. And so to have that fund there with cash, so you're not going back into debt when emergencies happen.
Rachel Cruz, Money and Marriage. It's on September 27th. Tickets available. It's going to be at the Woodlands. Great event, especially if you're a married couple.
Well,
I know I'm
going to
be there. Yeah, I think if you're engaged, this is also a great idea.
Yes,
I think even
for
if
sure.
you're thinking about getting married in the next 5 years, this is a good idea.
Rachel, thank you so much for the time today. I feel like we learned a lot.
Yes.
Good. I hope so. And I hope to see everyone at the event. We love Houston so much. So we're really excited to be there on September 27th. We'll be there.
Rachel, hypothetically speaking.
Oh, stop it.
You earned a 401k before you got married. We can join that together with what we earned together after we get married. But everything before that, like, that's ours, right?
No, keep your 401k separate.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We have hit common ground. I knew we'd be friends by the end of this.
Yeah, that we are. We're BFFs. Don't worry about it.